Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krupp.
Hey, welcome, everybody. It's Friday. You know what that means here on Political Coffee? It means that I, your very humble radio talk show host, give you the freedom, because we celebrate freedom, on Freedom Friday to call and talk about whatever you want to talk about today. And it's really easy. You just pick up the phone and dial 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. That's the Power Buick GMC talk line. Or you can just send me an email about anything political you want to get off your chest. I mean, that's what Freedom Friday is for, right? And you can send that email to Jeff at 1220.am. Jeff at 1220.am. And I have some great emails to read to you. Hey, you know, what do liberals do when the people speak and vote at the ballot box and they say something that the liberals don't like? What do the liberals do? Well, you know what they do. They file lawsuits in liberal courts to overturn the will of the people. Now, in Oregon, it's a little bit different than it is in Washington State. And I'm going to get into that in a moment. I'm also going to get into, you know, the insanity of the left just knows no boundaries here. In Bend, the city of Bend puts up what would be normally described as just a billboard. A billboard with a wagon a covered wagon on it, pulled by a horse. And people got their nose out of joint. And now the politically correct leaders of Bend are just falling all over themselves to apologize because of the color of the horse. Now, where does this end? Now, I'm quite serious. Where does it end? Lars Larson, my buddy and the guy who taught me talk radio, is a store in the Oregonian that, in all of this, by the way, you can see at OregonWatchdog.com. He named the so-called whistleblower, which isn't a whistleblower at all. It's a leaker. Rush talks about that, and he's 100% correct. He's not a whistleblower. He hasn't blown the whistle on anything because he didn't hear anything. It's all third-hand knowledge. Anyway, Lars is on overtime with Harris Faulkner and on Fox News yesterday, and he names the so-called whistleblower. Oh, my goodness. Oh, it's horrible. And then he even said it on later on the air. Now, so I'm watching last night. Watching One American News, which is a very conservative news organization that is on cable news, and they have a Washington D.C. bureau, and they have reporters that go around actually the world, and they're based out of San Diego. Well, One American News did a report about how Adam Schiff, in releasing the transcripts. You can't make this up. This is so funny. In releasing the transcripts of one of the witnesses and that their secret inquisition hearing names the whistleblower in the transcript. It's there for everybody to see. That is, if you can download it, because it takes like forever, I guess, to do it. Anyway, so the Oregonians got its couple of reporters, Christy Turnquist and Everton Bailey Jr., have their panties in a wad because Lars outs the supposed whistleblower. Folks, Drudge already did. Rush already did. A whole bunch of other conservative media people did. Oh, no. It's a conspiracy. It's a right-wing conspiracy. And, of course, Fox News said network officials weren't aware that Lars was going to say this. And they released a statement, you know, politically correct Fox News. By the way, here's the new Fox News poll. Michelle Obama, 50% of the Democrats that vote for Hillary Clinton, 27%, and Michael Bloomberg. Where's everybody else? it is going to be funny. Bloomberg cannot win. Cannot win against Trump, and he certainly cannot win the Democrat nomination because the Democrat Party has moved far too left. Anyway, Fox News, politically correct Fox News, releases a statement. Fox News has not yet confirmed or independently verified the name of the whistleblower, unquote. Oh, good grief. Come on. Jeez. The suspected whistleblower. Because he's got to protect him. Because he's living in fear. What a you know, so let me ask you this question. And I want to know what you think. You listen to this nuttiness. Do you think that the average person looks at all of this fakery around this so-called whistleblower and cares anything about it, number one? Or if they, do you think that they look at this and they go, who cares? You know, Trump already released the transcripts. You know, one of the Trump rallies, I think it might have been the Mississippi rally. Trump is, everybody behind him is wearing white T-shirts that say, read the transcript. Now, if you were a, even if you were watching CNN or Rachel Maddow, and they showed any part of that clip of Trump's speech, you would see people standing behind it with these white T-shirts that say, read the transcripts. So do you think that the average person, I'm going to ask you this question. By the way, the phones are working today. Hey! Good deal. If you want to call 503-589-1220, 503-589-1220, or emails to jeff@1220.am. So anyway, what do you think? I mean, do you think that the average person out there just living their life is going to look at the silliness about the whistleblower and really believe that the whistleblower's life is in danger and really believe this so-called policy of the major news media? Now, they have no problem, as you know. I mean, the hypocrisy is beyond description here. They have no problem listing the names of anybody associated with Trump immediately. But when it's a whistleblower. Anyway, it's all much ado about nothing. And Lars said yesterday that that they never said he couldn't do it. And he hasn't heard from anyone from the network since. And frankly, the only way that this hurts Lars is the network news people go, well, I guess we're not going to interview Lars anymore. Jeez. All right. In King County, Michigan. No, excuse me. King County, Washington. That's Seattle, folks. What happens when the people speak, when the people vote against something that the liberal elites want? What happens? They run to the courts. Remember this, the limits on how much you can, an initiative passed that caps the amount of car tab fees. Now, these are basically your license fees. Now, car tabs are a little different than what we have in Oregon. But the reality is, folks, is related to your car, okay? Car fees in Washington State are pretty darned expensive. My stepson and daughter-in-law live up in Pasco, and, you know, I talk to them about this whenever I'm up there. We're still relatively lesser expensive here in Oregon, although the liberals that constantly are raising your cost of living are doing so, again, with new and higher car fees related to all kinds of things that are here in Oregon. So anyway, we'll get there eventually. Anyway, so I-976 has been approved by the Washington voters. Like, it's almost a 54% margin to put a cap on how many. King County, Seattle, the King County executive, Dow Constantine, has asked the King County Prosecuting Attorney's Office to prepare a lawsuit challenging an initiative. And why is that? Because they stand to lose. Now get this. Well, Sound Transit, which is the incompetent transit agency, much like TriMet is out of Portland, will lose about $20 billion in the future for transportation projects if this stands. So what they want to do is they want to get, for some reason, they want to get the courts to overturn the will of the people, right? Now, they're continuing to count ballots, which they did yesterday. What this initiative does, it eliminates extra fees for everything from electric vehicles, ooh, that was smart, wasn't it? To sound transit light rail projects. Now, we need to do this here in Oregon because the electric car people in Oregon, which, by the way, get big subsidies, those electric car people don't like having to pay extra fees because they've been getting by with, you know, the subsidies that help them buy those cars. They like that. You know, because it's other people's money, right? It's socialism. Anyway, it's smart to include extra fees for electric vehicles, and it's smart to include light rail projects because most people don't use light rail. Coyotes do, you know, that famous picture of the Portland light rail with the coyote literally riding the light rail. Anyway, it's just, it's too much fun, folks. So what do liberals do? They go to the courts and they try to find a way in a liberal court to hurt the state. They try to find a way that says this hurts the state. $4 billion is what the state's Washington State Budget Office says it will eliminate. Just capping it. They're not saying you can't do it. They're just saying you're going to cap it. $4 billion in tax revenue by 2025. Now, that's what the state says. That's the state's share of it. But Sound Transit, the incompetent transit agency, says it'll be $20 billion, and they're probably going out 50 years to come up with that. You know, the bigger you make it, the more worse it is. The initiative sponsor and anti-tax activist, Tim Iman, says the state should use reserves and the rainy day fund to pay for the construction projects. Iman said voters are tired of paying for hundreds of dollars to renew car tabs. He said, quote, honesty won at the ballot box, unquote. Quote, because the voters finally had a chance to say enough with this dishonest tax, let's bring something that's actually honest. So let me ask you this question. What do you think this does? I mean, this was probably a campaign where the people who wanted to limit car fees probably were outspent. I don't know this, but probably outspent 10 to 1. And yet the people spoke. What do you think that means? Does this serve to just anger the voters even more, or will they just roll over and get complacent and say, okay, no point fighting anymore because they just overturn everything we do? What do you think it does? What's the implications here? It is 6:20 in the morning. It's Political Coffee Freedom Friday. What do you want to talk about? Be right back.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
22 minutes past the top of the hour. Yes, it is Freedom Friday. You can call and talk about politically anything you want to talk about today. 503-589-1220. Or send me an email to Jeff at 1220.am. I, by the way, am finally done with hemp harvest. I cannot tell you what a relief that really is. But you know, the relief you might feel is if you use CBD oil products, which is why I grew hemp this year, and a lot of people are, because it works. It works for some people. It works for people. In fact, I was reading a story from my friend Matt Cyrus, who owns, he and his family are sixth-generation farmers from Bend. Actually, not Bend, Sisters. They own the Aspen Lakes Golf Course there, and they've been growing hemp about 4 years, and he was quoted in the Bend Bulletin in this story about how it helps people with Alzheimer's disease. And he related to me a personal story about that, because I'm friends with him. You know, that's, while that may not be proven, quote unquote, medically, this personal story about this individual, and he named the person, is quite real. And this person attributes the what can only be said and characterized as a reversal of Alzheimer's to using large doses of CBD. Okay. Now, you know, I'm not going to claim that that could happen for everybody, but man, what's wrong with trying it? I have to tell you that I just think, for me personally, because it works for me, it works for members of my family, that, you know, it's worthy of your consideration to use it. Yesterday, I met with a candidate who's running in my old house district here, Scott Sword, and Scott's a logger. He's a Timber Unity guy. He's been in politics before, was the mayor of Vernonia, I think it was, and moves down, lives outside of Silverton Sublimity, where I am, just moved from. Anyway, he uses CBD for his aches and pains and his injuries from all his career in logging. Works for him. You know, maybe you ought to give it a try. And you ought to go down and talk to the folks at Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care on South Commercial, right next to Safeway in Salem. It's who I buy my CBD oil products from, and I think that you should talk to them. They got a great website. It's called vimsalem.com. That's vimsalem.com. And you can learn a lot more about the great product they sell, which is called CannaShield. And, you know, in that name is partly what the benefit of CBD products can be for you in terms of being a shield against what ails you. And so you really ought to go talk to the folks at Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care. VimSalem.com is their website. Check them out. Go down and talk to them. Tell them you heard about it on my show, KSLM, on Political Coffee. So there's on the Oregon Business Report, which you can also see, it's a story that sort of gets into this, what King County, Seattle is doing to try to thwart the will of the people because they don't like how they voted. Well, there are a couple of things here. It's socialism, right? You know, in fact, Avis, thank you so much. She, or Avis, put together this compilation of all the things that I've been saying about how to persuade the persuadables and language to use. And I thank you for that, Avis. One of the things is about socialism and using the Margaret Thatcher quote, the famous one, that said the problem with socialism is sooner or later you run out of other people's money. Now, you and I are logical people. We get that. But apparently to a lot of people, a lot of young millennials who have listened to what they have been taught, they believe that socialism can be this endless amount of money and that other people are going to pay for everything that they want for free because they are owed that. Not that they earned it, but they are owed it, and that's what makes things fair. So, when King County sues to overturn the will of the people, now you got to understand, folks. Now, this was a statewide initiative, but you have to understand that as Seattle goes, so does the state of Washington, by and large. The same thing is true here in Oregon. So when the people speak in Seattle and say, we want to cap the amount of extra fees that we're going to pay for the privilege of driving a car around Seattle and around Washington State, that's a form of pushing back against socialism. Now, the same thing is true here in Portland. As Seattle goes, Washington goes. as Multnomah County, as Portland goes, so Oregon goes. This Oregon Business Report, the headline is Oregon Large Wage Gains, except in two counties. So the biggest wage increases have been in the Washington and Multnomah counties. That includes Portland Metro. Okay, there's about 1.4 million people that live there. $51 billion in payroll. It's 50% of the state's total. Now, there are two states that actually lowered wages. Two counties here in Oregon. Two counties. I'm sorry, I misspoke. Two counties. Gillam and Sherman counties. Now, those are out there in, you know, kind of like the Boardman area and out there, right? Why would that be? Well, the reason is because it's related to a socialist-subsidized wind farm construction. You see, in 2008, they had 96, Sherman County had 96 jobs in construction that paid an average wage of $114,000 a year. By 2018, just 10 years later, the employment had dropped to 64 jobs that paid only $77,000 per year. Now, why would that be? It would be because a lot of the socialist-inspired subsidies have been diminished from Congress. It means less wind farms. There's other restrictions, but isn't that interesting? So, socialism has its limits, even amongst liberals, at least in Seattle. But the liberal elite is, they're going to turn to the fruit.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
24 minutes till the top of the hour. It is Freedom Friday. That means you can call because I give you the freedom. You can call and talk about anything political you want to talk about. 503-589-1220 or shoot me an email to Jeff at 1220.am. And I will bring up the email. So, thanks, Dwight, for sending me the story about King County probably going to sue to overturn the will of the people. And his comment is, governments cannot accept the will of the people. That's right. So how does that end up? When we look at the political atmosphere in America right now, I mean, with this, the elites think they know better. I mean, this is ultimately the message that comes through. And Trump just reinforces this every time you hear the man speak at a rally. The elites think they run everything. And they have for a long time in both parties. Donald Trump came along and upended that. So when the will of the people is overturned by the courts because the elites don't like it, and they go to their fellow elites on the court, does that create an anger, a seething anger that is existing? Now, Limbaugh says there is this seething anger amongst, you know, people like us, to be honest with you. A subset of Americans who understand this, who get angry when elites. I mean, it's kind of just human nature, isn't it? I mean, we know what's right for our families. We know what's right for us. I mean, that's part of what liberty is about. That's part of your inalienable rights. That's what our founders recognized because they had lived and existed under the elites of the crown. the elite of the elites, a king, and a parliament. Okay. So America, at least in part, was founded by people who rejected the idea that there is a group of people who know better than the rest of us, and that they are going to make decisions for us because we are incapable of making those decisions for ourselves. That's in essence, in so many words, why people get so angry about this. So Limbaugh says there's this seething anger under the surface. This story about King County, doesn't that just reinforce it? But it's been going on for a long time here in Oregon. For instance, remember years ago, back in the 90s, we voted for Measure 8, and it passed. What was that? It was limits on PERS. And what happened? The Oregon Supreme Court threw it out as unconstitutional. Seething anger. Now, what happens with that? Do the people start rebelling at the local level? I mean, look, it's a lot easier to take on a local government than it is a statewide election. So if you don't like the Clackamas County vehicle registration fee, which they tried to get the signatures to repeal, and they failed, they'd done it once before. They'd gotten the signatures, put it to a vote of the people, and the people overwhelmingly said, no, we're not going to pay an extra car registration fee in Clackamas County. A few years later, they tried it again, and this time they got away with it. That creates anger. Now, or does it create the attitude that, you know what, doesn't matter what we do, the politicians or the courts are just going to overturn it, so we're just going to be discouraged and we're just going to leave? Because that's what's happening. Conservatives are leaving Oregon and they're going to more conservative states like Idaho, like Texas. Californians are doing that. So what happens? Do people get angry? And does it play out at the ballot box? Well, I think it certainly did with Donald Trump, but what does it mean for us? It's worthy of thinking about, isn't it? Lee wrote me an email yesterday about Trump coming to Oregon. Oregon. Says, yes, please. A common feeling with many conservatives I talk with is that the Republican Party has forgotten about Oregon. So why try? The Democrats are too powerful, unquote. I feel if Mr. Trump were to come and expose Oregon's history and how stepping up to make a change, several will get excited and take action. Yeah, I think you're right. Yesterday, I talked about the red state story about all of these Democrats showing up at these Trump rallies. And this is what Trump does so well. He speaks to people. And again, I just am amazed that a New York billionaire could connect with so many Americans. And it is simply because he's saying things that people believe. It's what they believe. It's what they're feeling. And he's standing up and he's fighting. Now, if he came to Oregon, in fact, yesterday I shared this. Remember that senator the Republican senator that I have unnamed that asked me about what it's going to take to fire up the grassroots, not just in the Republican Party, but the grassroots in Oregon. And, you know, I had that conversation with him and I shared with him this story. And how I think that if you are going to win in Oregon, and I mean even at the local level, you have got to do these two things. You have to tap into these unaffiliated voters that the red state story talked about, that we talked about yesterday, right? These people who have not voted in a long time. They are there. You know, 50% of the unaffiliated voters in this state do not vote, folks. They are the second largest political party there is. They're bigger than the Republican Party. There's 800,000 of them plus unaffiliated voters. Half of them don't vote. A bunch of those people show up at Trump rallies, which is why Trump needs to come to Oregon. That could have coattails. That could have coattails for returning the legislature to at least some parity ideologically. Maybe not Republicans to any majority anywhere, but maybe to at least an ideological majority. Yeah, it could excite people. Now, this is important because we have to nullify Multnomah County, Portland. You see, one of the other stories that's out there, if you go to Oregon Watchdog, is this this headline, Multnomah County. Their 55,000 surprise ballot surge. Now, that's a suspicious thing, isn't it? The story says, Oregon was heading towards a near-record low voter turnout, and then suddenly 55,000 ballots showed up on Election Day in Multnomah County, according to the Oregonian story. Nowhere was the throng of last-minute voters, the Oregonian story said, more dramatic than in Multnomah County, where 55,000 voters turned in their ballots on Election Day, accounting for more than 30% of the votes cast during the 2.5 weeks the ballots were available. The article in the Catalyst says, this raises several questions. Was this last-minute surge due to ballot harvesting? Last year, a liberal group harvested ballots and was fined nearly $100,000 for failing to turn in almost 100 ballots. Could this be a harbinger of how the left is intending to move forward in the future? In a moment, we're going to go to Rebecca, but I want to do a I teased you with this, so I need to quit teasing you. In Bend, the Bend City Council put up a billboard about a covered wagon, and it evoked anger. And they show the billboard. It only says, traveling east to west, still tough? And it's got a picture of a covered wagon being pulled by a white horse. Now the city of Bend has agreed to take it down. Why? I mean, this was all about advertising an online survey for transportation priorities. What happened? Oh, the politically correct idiots came unglued. They showed up at the Wednesday's Bend City Council meeting, and they found it, the imagery, offensive. You know what they found offensive? The white horse. One of them, Sara Lee Beltran, said the ad campaign like this, ones like this, remind communities like mine how naive, ignorant, and oblivious the dominant culture of the city remains, and how equity is just a performance in government spaces. Went on to say, the fact that November is Native American History Month makes the campaign theme more charged. You see, everything's about race, isn't it? How interesting. They have to take down a billboard because it had a white horse on it. And they got their noses out of joint. Unbelievable. Let's go to Rebecca, who's on the line. Rebecca, good morning. What do you have to say on Freedom Friday?
Good morning. I called in to talk about the hate crimes bill that Obama got passed. But I have to say one thing before I do that. You're so correct about the politically correct ideas. I was holding a sign that said Margaret Sanger's Negro Project still kills black people today, and the kids came out of the school with duct tape to cover up the word black.
They unbelievable. Hey, Rebecca, hang on through the break here. Everybody else on the line, hang on. We'll get to all of your phone calls when we come back at 6:48. Freedom Friday. What do you want to talk about? We are back, friends. Great to have you with us. 10 minutes to the top of the hour.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
Yeah, I'm so anxious to get back on the air. I started talking early. Oh, folks, it's Freedom Friday. What do you want to talk about? 503-589-1220. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. Back to Rebecca. Rebecca, all right, so you had sent me an email, by the way, about the walk-away event in Portland. What's that all
about? Yeah, it was a huge success. I got a Facebook post from somebody that showed a picture of the event, and it was packed out crowd, and they said there were a lot of Democrats there. So I think it was very worth it.
Who put the walk-away event? Who put the event on? Who did it? Who did the event?
Well, Dinesh D'Souza was there, and then a guy named Straka that I have never heard of before. The walk-away people did it because they're trying to encourage Democrats that they're not alone in wanting to walk away from the Democrat Party. So they're trying to get people to believe that there's reasons to walk away from the Democrat Party. But I called in because the hate crimes bill that was passed is actually very relevant to this this Bend poster. And the kids that came out of the school with duct tape to cover up the word black on my sign. Because they're being taught that there are, that if you're white and male and heterosexual, that you, are intrinsically a hater. I have a button that supports marriage between a man and a woman, and I've been called by the kids a hater. Because I'm not encompassing all forms of sexual expression. So the idea with the hate crimes bill was promoted that a man named Matthew Shepard, who was attacked and killed 18 to 20 years ago, that he had been killed by heterosexual bigots and white supremacists and that sort of thing. But when a homosexual went there to do collect information so he could do a hero thing on Matthew Shepard, he found out that Matthew Shepard had been killed by people. One of the men who killed him had been his homosexual partner, and that he killed him for drugs that had been just delivered to his apartment. He wanted to get in and steal the drugs. And so,
yeah, those are important details that nobody ever hears about unless, you know, somebody like you comes on a radio show like this and says them. But your larger point here is that basically we're being indoctrinated at every level, from schools right on up to, you know, the people that a small minority of people get really loud and, you know, show up at like Ben's city council meetings and accuse them basically of being insensitive.
Yeah.
Because they put a white horse on a billboard.
Yes. And it's all to promote the idea that we are haters and bigots and homophobes. And it has it's not based in truth, but you can be accused by the hate crimes bill that the Democrats passed in the middle of the night on Christmas Eve or something like that. While Obama was president, they were pushing this idea of Matthew Shepard being having been killed by heterosexuals, and he actually wasn't. It's in the book of Matt. The guy who wrote
okay.
about it is a homosexual.
All right. Thanks, Rebecca. Unfortunately, I got to move on because I want to get to the next caller. By the way, there is a story about a companion story about that. The headline here on Oregon Watchdog is, where is that here? Why a new Oregon law seeks to improve how hate crimes are reported. We've talked about this before. This is the precursor in Oregon. I'm telling you, this new law is a precursor to limiting our free speech. It's all based on cooked data, folks, on how big hate crimes are. That's what it is. Let's go to Art. Art, good morning. How are you? What do you have to say on Freedom Friday?
Well, happy Freedom Friday, Jeff. And let me say, we got to keep on fighting. We got to keep on exposing all this stuff. But, I just wanted to remind everybody that we're heading into the time where bills are going to be introduced for the short session. They're having legislative days, obviously in November and December, and we got to start gearing up because they're going to try to pass that climate change bill and all that kind of stuff and, create a worse situation in this state. And so kudos to Trump for, fighting the good fight. He definitely needs to keep up exposing what's going on, including, the Democrats trying to frame him into doing something that he really didn't do and stuff like that. So we got to call our Congress people and make them aware that we don't like what's going on in our national legislature. But anyway, Jeff, you have a good weekend and keep up the good work. And you're absolutely right.
Thank you, Art. You also.
We got to keep, getting the word out there what's going on, because people don't pay attention until it's too late. And if we don't keep, letting people know what's happening to our freedoms, we're going to just continuously lose our rights under the Constitution.
That's right. And you're so right. And those bills are going to be introduced, and we need to be active. You're so right. Art, have a great weekend. To all of you out there. One of the things when I was chatting with this state senator, this Republican state senator yesterday, about how to fire up the grassroots, was talking about bold leadership. And it relates to what Art just said. Bold leadership was Republican senators leaving the state, not once but twice. It stopped the forced vaccinations bill. It stopped the bad gun bills. And it stopped the cap and tax scam. All of that's going to be back in February, is what I'm told. All of it. Now, what should Republicans do? Should they continue to, especially the Senate, or will the House, since the House has had this coup in Oregon, Republican House leadership, there was a coup. Will they choose to walk out now as a caucus? Will they use every tool they have available to stop this madness? Will the Senate Republicans choose to walk out this time? And are they having those conversations right now with Peter Courtney and Tina Kotek? It's all going to be explored as we move on further, folks, as we get closer to this time. We'll learn more in the coming weeks. Folks, get out there, make it a great weekend. Be blessed. I'll talk to you on Monday.